This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, The Water of Bhagavatam to Returns to Bhagavas, Texts 40 through 42, so we'll chant 40 together. Translations. Vittam Prasad, Translation. My dear King, Uddhava is a constantly faithful follower of Lord Krishna. Upon seeing the imminent departure of the Yadavas, hearing from him of the Lord's instructions, and taking note of the fearful omens, he approached the personality of Godhead in a private place. He bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller of the universe, and with folded hands addressed him as follows. Purport. According to Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, there cannot be any actual disturbance in the Lord's own abode. The great disaster is apparently occurring in Dwarka, where an external show created by the Lord to facilitate his pastimes. We can understand the pastimes of Krishna only by hearing from the recognized acharyas. Lord Krishna is not a mundane historical figure, and his activities cannot be confined within the tiny limits of material logic. Lord Krishna's pastimes are an exhibition of his achintya shakti, or inconceivable potency, which functions according to higher spiritual laws unknown to the blind, conditioned souls and their petty material logic. Translation: Sri Uddhava said, O my Lord, the Supreme God amongst all the demigods, your piety is invoked simply by hearing and chanting your transmitted glories. My Lord, it appears that you are now withdrawing your dynasty, and thus you yourself will finally give up your pastimes within this universe. You are the Supreme Controller and the Master of all mystic power. But although you are fully capable of counteracting the Brahmin's curse against your dynasty, you are not doing so, and your disappearance is imminent. Purport. As previously mentioned, Krishna's own dynasty can never be destroyed. Therefore, the word Sanhitya means that Krishna was taking the Yadavas with him as he left this material world. However, in the eyes of ordinary and enlightened persons, the withdrawal of the Yadav dynasty appears to be its destruction. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the statement of Buddha as follows. Krishna is addressed as Devadeva, or the Supreme God amongst the gods, because he expertly solved all the problems of the demigods in his incarnation within the universe. The Lord ruled the world of demons and firmly established both his devotees and religious principles. But Krishna is addressed here as your Geisha, because he not only performed work on behalf of the demigods, but he also revealed his beautiful transcendental form, full of transcendental qualities and ecstasies for the pleasure of his pure devotees. Krishna is called Punya Shravana Kirtana, because then, by his internal mystic potency, he exhibited his human-like activities. The Lord stimulated the writing of innumerable Vedic scriptures about his pastimes. Thus, persons who are divine in the future, like ourselves, will be able to hear and chant about the Lord's activities and also go back home back to Godhead. Having assured the transcendental bliss and liberation of all his devotees, even those who are divine in the future, Krishna decided the time had come for him to leave this material universe. Uddhava could understand the Lord's desire and said to Krishna, "You have instructed the Yadavas to counteract the Brahmin's curse by taking back with the Vasa Kshetra. But how could Lord Devi in a holy place be of greater value than seeing you, the personality of Godhead, face to face? Since the auditor will always see the chancellor affirm, and since you are the supreme lord, what is the use of their taking a bath in the so-called holy place? Therefore, you obviously have some other purpose. If you actually wanted to counteract the curse, you could simply say, let this curse not act, and the curse would immediately be neutralized. Therefore, you must be prepared to leave this universe, and that is why you have not counteracted the curse. Hare Krishna. So here, Buddha is articulating the plan of the Lord. And that might sound fairly simple statement, and Buddha's explanation as given to us by Śrī Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura in the purport of the second verse also seems quite easy to surmise. He doesn't take it at face value that I don't want to go to Prabhasacharya and take bath, not really counteract the curse. He doesn't take that at face value, but he tries to understand what's behind those instructions. And what he does is that he articulates the Lord's plan. He puts it into words. He brings it into the world of action, what the Lord's actual plan is, which is obviously something different than just going and take bath in a holy place. Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura gives us the understanding that such a thing can't really be the meaning of the Lord due to the tremendous benefit of having his personal association. But it's not a simple thing to articulate the plan of the Lord. And so we need to understand how is it that Uddhava can have it come so easily from his lips. Such a profound understanding comes so easily from his lips. If you recall, at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, what day did Bhishma fall? Tenth day. Bhishma fell on the tenth day of the Battle of Kurukshetra, which was 18 days in length. So Bhishma was lying in the bed of arrows for those 8 days, and then additional time when the battle concluded and finally the Pandavas came to see him on the bed of arrows. So Bhishma Dev, who was a Mahajan, one of the 12 authorities on devotional service, had plenty of time while laying on that bed of arrows to think about how he got there and the whole history of the Mahabharata history. It spanned generations and involved all kinds of political intrigue as well as spiritual opportunities, association with the personality of Godhead. He had a lot of time to think about all those things. Yet, when the Pandavas finally came before him, he described his bewilderment of why and how such great devotees of the Lord as the Pandavas had to suffer in various ways. We all know the history, and some of us probably have our favorite instances in which they suffered. The Bhagavatas, Draupadi, present that Jupiter could be brought to the assembly and attempts made to strip her naked. How is that possible? Such great devotees of the Lord. So you say, well, we probably have our favorite suffering that the Pandavas had to go through. But after contemplating all that time, what happened to the Pandavas? How could it be possible? And what was the plan of the Lord behind all of that? You all know what his conclusion was, don't you? It's described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that after eliminating some of the difficulties that the Pandavas had to go through, Vishnu concluded with this verse. Okay, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. So we have here in one hand the plan of the Lord easily deciphered and rendered very concisely by Uddhava. Yet we have, on the other hand, the Mahajan, Vishnudev, saying that no one can understand the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. I think even in our lives, we look at and try to understand what the plan of the Lord is in different ways, and we become bewildered, even though we're experiencing it, we're living it. What to speak of the grand plan of the Lord? So how do you resolve these two things? How is it that Uddhava knows the plan of the Lord and can articulate it very clearly? Well, Vishnu says, not possible. Well, I'll give a hint how that happens. How one can know the plan of the Lord. And from the very beginning of our study of Krishna consciousness, can anyone quote a verse from Bhagavad Gita that explains how we can begin to know the plan of the Lord? Yes. Devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. One more from the fourth chapter. It's a long series of devotion being the key. I guess there's some. There's some. But four, three. So, Eva, I am my Apodhya. Yoga Prokta Parata Parata Bhakta Sanya Sakata Chi Rahasyam Vaya Panitam. This very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today taught by me to you, as you are my devotee as well as your friend, and therefore can understand the truth of the mystery of this science. The relationship of devotion is described here in this verse from the fourth chapter. Friendship is how you can begin to understand the plan of the Lord. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's not possible, as this, the Prabhupada's disciples have given in this first purport here, that we can understand within the time limits of material logic. We can't conceive his chinti shakti. We can see the potency by our petty material logic. These things will never help us, but simple devotion will. Simple devotion will. Give us an illustration of that a little later. But let's turn and see what was Uddhava's qualification that he could understand the plan of the Lord. Uddhava actually is a very, very intimate associate of the Lord. But he may not be the first one that comes to your mind when you ask the list who are the intimate associates of Krishna. But if you actually see the descriptions of Uddhava that are found in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Bhagavatam, with all these literatures, Uddhava plays a very, very prominent role, and it's revealed his close, very close, intimate relationship with Krishna. Uddhava was Krishna's cousin brother. Now, I can tell you that, but who are his parents? Is anyone going to say who his parents are? His mother and father? Obviously, he's related to Krishna as a cousin brother. But I didn't spend the time to try to find it out. But anyway, he first appears when he comes to Mathura after Krishna comes back from the ashram of Sandipani. He comes to Mathura and he meets Krishna there. And while Krishna is in Mathura, he immediately shows what an intimate, confidential confidant Uddhava is. He takes him, for instance, he takes him to, when he goes to visit Kubja, the prostitute, he takes Uddhava with him. And Uddhava is also greeted by Kubja's maidservants and things like that. And they offer him, obviously Krishna is offering a nice seat in the south. And they also offer that to Uddhava, but he doesn't, he refuses, he sits on the floor. But such a, what do you take with you when you go to a place like that? Obviously, it's a confidential associate. Krishna is also fulfilling his promises. Like when Akura came to Vrindavan and picked up Krishna and brought him to Mathura, when Akura drops him off, Krishna tells him, I'll come to your house also. And so when he goes to his house later, after Kamsa is killed and everything, he comes back from Gokula and everything, he takes Uddhava with him when he goes to visit Akura at his house. Uddhava also figures prominently in Krishna's Dwarka Lila. Of course, we know that he's an advisor of Krishna. And his role as advisor, particularly for what comes to mind of course, is advising him about how Yudhishthira could perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and so he advises, well, Jarasandha has to be killed first, and then, the cage will be subordinate, and you'll be able to go and perform the sacrifice. So he gives that kind of advice as a sort of a political minister to Krishna. But his relationship is not limited to that. It's described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna's daily activities in that chapter. But one of the daily activities that Lord Krishna would do after leaving the assembly house is that he would go drive chariots, either for recreation or practice or whatever. And there would be two people with him. one of the Uba, and the other Satyaki, commander-in-chief of the Yadava army. And so every day, this is David Lopez's day right there, so every day he would go out for recreation with his intimate friend Uddhava. So he wasn't just an advisor, but he always had access to Krishna even in the inner chambers. There was a single house where he held court, but there were inner chambers, and Uddhava had a relationship where he was always with Krishna in the inner chambers also. So he had complete access to Krishna. He had complete access to Krishna. Now, you don't get complete access to Krishna without being intimately related with him. It wasn't accidental or some political appointment kind of relationship. And then Krishna notes that Uddhava was so dear to him that he gave him a body that closely resembled himself. This is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself makes the note. It's not just by random. He has a body where he looks, there's a physical appearance of that Krishna. And that indicates the closeness that Uddhava had to Krishna. So what you see the point I'm making here, and that is that the friendship that Krishna speaks of as a qualification for Arjuna to understand him. The devotional service, that is a qualification for understanding the plan of the Lord. These things are very much embodied in Uddhava. And so, when he speaks, well, there's one more thing, and I think this is probably the most telling thing about their relationship, is that Krishna, on many occasions, made Uddhava his messenger. We're hearing from Shankashore on Monday how, I think he was saying, from Mathura to Vrindavan, there's all these messages going back every day. And several times during the day, messengers would go back and forth. And they're different kinds of messengers also. They're different kinds of messengers. Some messengers, they just can take the letter, the message, and deliver it. That's one kind. And it's a base level messenger. But they're entry level, right? But there are other kind of messengers, like Uddhava, who are not only entrusted with giving a message, but are given full facility to articulate the meaning in the message. And this is the kind of messenger that Uddhava was, the topmost type of messenger, and given full freedom to explain, elaborate upon the message that's being delivered. And how can one do that if one doesn't have an intimacy with the sender of the message? The sender of the message can trust this person to interpret it. And so Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with such a message. He sent him to give a message to all the residents of Vrindavan, but particularly to Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Yashoda and to the gopis. And so Uddhava went to Vrindavan, and first he spoke with Nanda and Yashoda. All night they were speaking, conversing, Krishna giving a message, giving his message to Nanda and Yashoda through Uddhava. And then Uddhava met with the gopis. Actually, that meeting, when Uddhava was speaking with the gopis, they were painting their house. Where Radharani is in the topmost ecstasy. What is it called? And she's Radharani, and she's speaking to the bumblebee. Highest, that Uddhava is there at that time. And so Krishna also had another plan for Uddhava by sending him to Vrindavan so that he could see the love of the gopis, how exalted that love is. That's an opportunity also that is very rarely achieved and is based on one being very intimate with Krishna. Especially when Krishna deals with the gopis and the ecstasies, the high level of ecstasy in Mahabharata that are exhibited by the gopis. These things are very, very confidential. And it's not that they're generally understood. I'll give you an example from Chaitanya Leela. And that involves when Rupa Goswami proved his qualifications for understanding the plan of the Lord. There are some verses here that I can read to you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sing this song. Let me take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. This ecstasy is filling his heart. In that ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited a verse while dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Almost no one could understand the meaning of that verse. And the verse says, that very personality who stole away in my heart during my youth has now been my master. These are the same living lights of the Mount of Chaitra. The same fragrance of novelty flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kabanda forest. In an intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet my mind is not happy here. I am able to go back to that place on the bank of the Vedati under the Tasa tree. That is my desire. This verse appears to be the hanging between some ordinary born girl, but it is actual deep meaning is known only to Sweet Dharma. By chance, one of Rupa Goswami was also present there. Although the meaning of the verse was only known to Sweet Dharma, Rupa Goswami, after hearing it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately composed another verse that described the meaning of the original verse. After composing this verse, Rupa Goswami wrote it on a palm leaf and put it on the roof of the thatched house in which he was living. After composing this verse and putting it on the roof of his house, Rupa Goswami went to bathe in the sea. In the meantime, Lord Chaitanya went to his hut to meet him. I'm skipping a few verses. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the residence of Srila Rupa Goswami, he accidentally saw the palm leaf on the roof, and thus he read the verse composed by him. After reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into an ecstatic mood. While he was in that state, Sri Rupa Goswami came immediately and fell down like a rod. When Sri Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then, taking him in his lap, he began to speak. No one knows the purport of my verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. How could you understand my intention? Saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benedictions upon Rupa Goswami, and taking the verse, he later showed it to Sri Dharada. And the last verse that's relevant in this series, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him and bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the Bhakti cult. And exceptionally, Rupa Goswami is quite fit to understand the confidential morals of devotional service. And I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further. So the point is that to articulate the plan of the Lord or the intention of the Lord requires that we become intimate servitors of the Lord. That articulation is not just talk, it's devotional service. And it's an opportunity that's available to all of us, followers of Rupa Goswami, in preaching Krishna consciousness. We preach Krishna consciousness based on our realization, based on the development of our relationship with Krishna. The more intimate our relationship with Krishna, the more potent our ability to articulate that message and to affect the hearts of others. Because that intimacy, that friendship, that devotional service rendered, is how we get genuine understanding. And by that genuine understanding of the plan of the Lord, of the desire of the Lord, then we can articulate that and have potency in our ability to spread Krishna consciousness. So, we're all in the sense of messengers in that regard. As you try to be good messengers, try to develop that service so that we can be please the Lord by our service. Now, the last question is that was really his qualification. He was able to view the Mahabharata exhibited by the gopis when Krishna sent them there, and he was able to deliver the message. Krishna also sent him at the end of his pastime, a little bit special in this regard, because whenever he went back home, back to Godhead from Prabhas Setra, there was one person asked to stay behind. What do you think that was? Uddhava was asked to stay behind, and Krishna had another messenger service for him. He sent him to Bodhak Ashram with a message for Narayana Rishi. And it's explained in our acharyas that Krishna hadn't visited Bodhak Ashram during his manifest presence, and so he didn't get a chance to go there and see his devotees there. But he wanted to send him a message to show that he was thinking about them. So he chose Uddhava as his confidential messenger to go there. Even though it might stay back in the material world, everyone else goes back to Godhead. That seems like a bad deal, doesn't it? That I don't have to stay back. It's like when Papa was here in Pajari, like, you got to stay back where I'm going. Can't even get out of the Pajari's there by himself. But that's actually a very wonderful position to be given some special service like that, and we need again a trusted confidant to do that, because everyone is living. So Uddhava is that trusted confidant. Now, the last point, very quickly here, is that do we really need to know the plan of the Lord? Do we really need to know the plan of the Lord? What's the role of faith? We don't even know the plan of the Lord, but still, if we have faith, faith in Krishna, faith in his representative, faith in the devotees of the world, then we can be properly situated. This is illustrated by the story, of the cobbler and the Brahmin. Madhavi was passing by, and the Brahmin asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to see that man in Vaikuntha." "Well, please ask him a little bit more of salvation." The cobbler happened to hear him also ask, "Well, please ask him a little more salvation." Well, the cobbler was mochi. They deal with leathers and stuff, so it's not a very clean profession. So the man went there and asked the man, and told him that he was passing the elephant to the eye of the leader. When the Brahmin heard this, he said, "Preposterous! The Lord couldn't be doing that. He had no faith. And therefore, he was not to receive his liberation from many lives." There was a simple cobbler could anyone understand that he had faith? Oh, wonderful, my Lord is so wonderful that he can pass the elephant through the eye of the needle. Now the man asked him, well, you believe that? He said, well, what? The banyan, big banyan trees and a little seed here. Inside that little seed, the whole banyan tree is there. So if the Lord can do that, why can't he pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? Now the man was even impressed at his faith. And that faith, although not based on the knowledge of Shastra that the Brahmin had, but that faith was enough to guarantee him that at the end of his life he would go back home, back to Godhead. So we may not be that vulnerable, so intimate, but if we follow in his footsteps, if we hear from him, if we hear from representatives of the Parampara, and we hear with faith, and that faith will bridge whatever gap is there in our knowledge, and we'll be able to advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. So these are some reflections on otherwise being able to understand the plan of the Lord. Comments? Reflections? Moments? Yes?
Parameters, or how do you know what devotional service really is? I mean, you've emphasized the importance of it, and I think we've all heard, you know, devotional service is the means. Because I feel, I mean, historically in our movement, it has been a narrow definition, excluding even like child care or nurturing personal relationships and like that. So I'm just curious if you can speak a little bit more on, I mean, how do we know what's devotional service and what is not?
Well, Rupa Goswami has given me a nectar of devotion, Dr. Goswami, to say the 64 processes of devotional service. And so, technically, devotional service is defined as, by Rupa Goswami, as engaging our sadhana bhakti, engaging our senses in the service of Krishna favorably. And there are 64 items. When you go through those 64 items, you'll see how they can be seen as, well, I'm using my hands to do this, I'm using my eyes to do that, I'm using my body to do this, I'm using my mind to do that. So it's actually there how we engage our body, this material body, our senses, in the service of Krishna favorably, and that will become purified and advanced in devotional service. Now, for interpreting how those 64 items fit, you know, with, say, our lives and things like that, that's the role of the guru. The guru understands the nature and the situation of the disciple, and understanding the Shastra brings those two things together. And so the guru can give you specific instruction. We have instruction from Prabhupada. You mentioned about child care. Prabhupada says in letters to disciples that take this as your devotional service. He specifically says things like that. So those are instructions of the guru that we can also apply. But I think generally speaking, we should, if we have some doubt about what I'm doing, how I'm rendering devotional service, or how I may be getting distracted or whatever, we should inquire from say devotees, or guru, so if we're guru, shastra, sarvakya, chitete, koryak, what is it? So, shastra, guru, saintly persons, that's what the purpose of the association of devotees is. If we have good association, then we won't deviate one way or another. When we don't have good association, maybe due to our pride or some other anatta, then we feel that we don't need association, we can guide ourselves and we can easily go off the rails. Is that right? Yes.
Just wanted to add, Linda's question, nice question. One example Prabhupada gives about a woman who has a karma, she's always thinking about her karma, but she's engaging her duties of her household very nicely. So sometimes I think devotional service is like that, where your heart is thinking about Krishna. You're thinking about Krishna's pastimes, you're thinking about glorification of Krishna. And that's when your child care and your family duties and whatever that may be, then they become devotional service.
Okay. Any points in this? Oh, continue. Yes. Okay. Okay. I was thinking about the Rupa Goswami Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastime, and I got a little confused, so maybe you can help me. So Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Father Rama and Krishna. So Rupa Manjari knows everything about, what Radha is thinking. In fact, I came across a poem by Raghunath Das Goswami, a poem, where he says that, he's saying, when will I serve Rupa Manjari? In whose place Radharani agrees to act? So, Rupa Goswami's place, the Lalita Madhav, the Gaddi Madhav, apparently, according to this play, Radharani is actually acting out, acting in accordance with what Rupa Goswami wants. Rupa Manjari wants. So how is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so surprised that Rupa Manjari knows what he's thinking?
These are some subjects where I don't consider that I can authoritatively answer what you're saying. However, I can give some thought in response to what you're asking. And that is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, the incarnation of the Lord, they are joined by rasa, not logic. And so, logically, yes, your question is fine, but in terms of enjoying the exchange between the Lord and his devotee, sometimes the regular potency of the Lord creates situations where the Lord will be surprised, almost as if ignorance has entered. But it's not that ignorance has entered, it's that the overall policy is creating a relishing relationship. And what's the proof of that in this past hour yet? That when he understood that Prabhu Swami had written his first, what did he do? He slapped him. He slapped him. Not out of anger, punishment or something, it was a slap out of love. So there was obviously some exchange of muscle going on there. And to facilitate that, the Lord's Chaita Shakti creates situations where he may feel surprised. Mm-hmm. I promised him.
Thank you. Sometimes I can remember verses, but I don't always remember exactly what they mean. And so, one verse that I thought of when you were talking about the faith of the cobbler was that Bhaktivamyagya Tapasam verse, where that one I do remember the translation, and I was thinking of Brinda's question also, that by having the attitude that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, meaning all we do in our life is actually meant for his pleasure, trusting when, I mean, all of us, when things are going, whether they're going well or whether they're going wrong, that Krishna is the supreme controller. And the faith that he's our best friend. So whatever it is that happens, he's wishing us well. He wants us to come back to him. But the one that I remembered, the Sanskrit, I can't remember exactly the English, when you were talking about the 64 principles enunciated by Rupa Goswami, somehow I have the feeling that that Anyabhilasita Sunyam verse like sums it up. And I kind of know the general thing, but maybe you could be more, you know, I'm sure you know the better than I. And it seems like that one just gets the essence of doing things for Krishna's pleasure.
Is that the verse that defines devotional service?
Yeah.
Rupa Goswami's verse which defines devotional service. So it fits because it is the 64 items are illustrations, elaborations on the principles that are described in that verse. Do you have the translation of it?
Yes.
Can someone give us a translation?
Pure devotional service is the cultivation of activities through mind, body, and speech, which is not covered by the
world.
Pure devotional service is the cultivation of activities through body, mind, and speech, which is not covered by the fruitive result or empiric knowledge or mysticism, etc., which is also performed with a favorable attitude and which is devoid of all other desire except the desire to bring pleasure to the Lord in a favorable way.
Okay. So,
but I was thinking of it specifically with regard to her, you know, what about taking care of the children? It's like everything that we do can be done for Krishna's pleasure. And then it's devotional.
I think that the part of Rana's question is that there's a danger in assuming that everything is devotional service, and therefore we have to be guided very carefully. Therefore, there are orthodox principles. These 64 items of devotional service are recommended by Rupa Goswami, given by Rupa Goswami, and we should be careful to, there's a certain conservatism that we need to have in regard to those things. But at the same time, there needs to be some interpretation of those things. And so that's Guru Shastra and Sadhu, over this interpretation of those things. And in the nectar of devotion itself, the 64 items are listed, and Rupa Goswami illustrates them by quoting from different places to show what it means. So that's a subject matter for discussion amongst the devotees. It's at the end of 9 o'clock, and I think John Austin did the last. Yes.
I have a couple of points. One, it's one thing to know the future plan of the Lord, and that seems to be very, you know, only like intimate associates like one of them. It's another thing to understand the plan of the Lord retrospectively. That also takes faith and devotion to see how Krishna's arranged things, maybe for my upliftment or the upliftment of others. And that's one point that I have. I don't know if you have a comment on that. But it seems like it's a very difficult thing to foresee the future.
Yeah.
I mean, very unusual that someone has that capacity.
Well, they're especially favored by the Lord, you know that.
What's that?
We know they have to be very specially favored by the Lord.
Right.
Like when Prabhupada had the vision of Krishna rowing the boat.
What's that?
She's saying that when Prabhupada had a vision in Jagadutta of Krishna rowing the boat.
Yeah.
And telling him, don't worry, everything will go fine.
The other point is that this, in that first verse in purport, there was a description of how there can be no disturbances in the holy dham. It's only there when the Lord is trying to orchestrate some type of a pastime. I think that's a rough paraphrase. But, you know, my years in Mayapur, I saw there were a lot of disturbances. You know, I mean, you've been through your year as a GPC chairman, and it was a pretty intense year in terms of what was going on in Mayapur. Do you have any insights as to how these different challenges or these disturbances that come up are actually there to facilitate the Lord's pastimes?
Well, do you have any insights? Coming back from Mayapur and sitting down here, in a discussion where these verses are coming up in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the whole idea about disturbances in the dham, as much as steam, is very satisfying because it's like an answer. It's an answer that we're thinking so many things, but what is the reality? The reality is being described. And it's coming down and being put right in front of our face in class after class as we're directly doing these verses. So it gives me great solace to think that this is Krishna acting and giving me solace.
That is Krishna's future plan?
No. Well, the future plan is we have to end class right now. We have to watch you on both conferences.